Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Kristen Chenoweth, who will be coming to Strathmore on Friday, January 29th at 8 p.m. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Where are we calling you from? Are you up in New York at the moment, or where are you?
I'm in New York. I've been out on the road a lot, and I've just arrived to freezing cold weather from Florida, so I'm not pleased.
Well, we have some more coming. There's a blizzard getting about ready to whack all of us, so.
I know. I'm just going to stay in and watch movies all weekend.
What would be on the Kristen Chenoweth binge watch during the blizzard? What would be on your list?
Oh, Game of Thrones for sure. I'm the freak that rewatches things over and over.
Hey, the good stuff. The good stuff you should be able to rewatch.
That's exactly right. And then there's some shameful things like Real Housewives that, you know, I'm ashamed of, but I'm going to admit to it because it's truth. But I love Dance Moms as well.
Right.
I'm really into pretty much anything that's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I also love the show Veep. You know, I'm behind on my shows because I've been out on the road. I got lots to watch.
Well, this is the perfect time, and it doesn't matter. You're allowed some guilty pleasures. That's okay. We all have them.
Thank you.
I give you permission.
I'll take it.
Awesome.
I'll take it.
Awesome. So let's talk about your Strathmore show. What can we, if our listeners are hearing this and they've seen you either on stage or on TV or in the movies and they're like, oh, I love Kristen Chenoweth. What can they expect when they turn out? Like, what sort of performance will you be doing here?
Well, one of the things that I've been doing out on the road this fall and I love doing is I have a pretty eclectic taste. And my voice doesn't just live in one place as well. So we have everything from, you know, let's see, Bernstein to Charlie Chaplin to Jerome Kern.
Wow.
There could possibly be an appearance of Adele's song, not one of her hits, one of her major hits. I guess everything she does is a hit. But, you know, it's all over the map, and I like it that way because I like to entertain. I also like people to leave feeling, you know, happy and like they've gotten a good meal.
Right.
So there's appetizer, meat, and dessert.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that.
Thank you.
So you mentioned Chaplin. What sort of Chaplin? By the way, did you know he once entered a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest and he finished third? Isn't that crazy?
I think that's, you know what I think? I got to say this. A, I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me. Now I will be quoting you in my concerts because I love to talk to young people who want to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for them to realize that you don't always win. No matter where you're at in your career, things, you know, there's always up to go. There just is. Once you, say you win an Academy Award, the next year you could be in a big movie that's a flop.
Right.
It's never ending. And the point is to keep being a creative artist. And that's what Charlie Chaplin was, even though he came in third for his own self. You know, that to me sums up show business beautifully.
Yeah, you might look up the details on that, you know, but I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in Europe. That's how popular he was. Everybody could do him better than him. He finished third in his own own little tramp lookalike. That's great. So yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so genius.
Throw that out to the Strathmore crowd. You know, you got to say, yeah. I heard this from WTOP. You got to give us some credit. You got to attribute it, you know. No, it's okay.
Of course, we must give credit where credit is due. Of course.
Of course. But no, you know, it's a perfect little example you mentioned about, you know, you could win awards, but then the next time you never know, you know, what else is coming down the pike. And you've won some awards.
That's right.
You've won some awards yourself. You got a Tony doing Sally and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown on Broadway. God, that's been what, like 16, 17 years ago? What are your memories of that one?
It was 1999, mm-hmm. creating that character, and it was one of the best moments in my career. What can I say? I loved it.
That's great. And I know they just celebrated a big anniversary, the actual Charlie Brown on that, yeah.
Yes.
And of course...
I voiced, I was in the recent Peanuts movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't... want to make a deal of it. The Schultz family wanted me a part of it. The producers and the studio wanted me a part of it. And that Peanuts has been such a history. It's just been a huge part of my history. So one of the beautiful things about Charles Schultz and what their family and estate make sure happens is what he always wanted. In the movies and the TV shows, kids actually voice the voices for the kids. And it's not adults.
The adults would just sound, wah, 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 wah.
Exactly, which is so perfect that he wrote that as a teacher, right? But they asked me to voice Fifi, Snoopy's girlfriend.
Mm.
And it was not a lot. It was, you know, mainly sounds, and it was just a fun day of work. But I will always carry that honor of getting to be a part of anything that he created, because I do think he was a genius. And to get to do the portrayal of Sally on Broadway and sort of create my version of her, which hadn't been done, was pretty cool.
Man, not everyone can say they were Snoopy's girlfriend. That's incredible. You know, he gets mad, you can throw him out literally to the doghouse. It's great.
That's right.
But, you know, speaking of, you know, after your Tony win, obviously your even bigger role, I think you were nominated for another Tony, was obviously Wicked. Is that what most people come to you up on the street and want to talk about? Are they come up and sing Popular or ask you about Idina Menzel and Joel Grey? You know, is that what most people talk to you about?
You would think so, right?
Okay.
You would think. With me, it's different always. It could be Pushing Daisies. It could be The West Wing. It could be the movie RV. Mm-hmm. It could be Wicked. It could be Candide. I never know. It's always different. It's always different. And I think I like that. I actually think I like that.
Oh yeah, no, it shows you're well rounded. You even did that J Lo movie recently. Yeah, you're all over the place. It's great. When you guys were doing Wicked, did you know it, you know, even rehearsing it, did you know that it sort of had the built-in Wizard of Oz, you know, crowd already, but did you have any idea how huge it would become?
I had a feeling. I of course you can never know that for sure in show business, because the minute you think that, it's gonna tank. But we were opening in San Francisco with our first show,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know critically how it would be, but I saw how it struck a chord with the audience, and then I knew I was going to be in for a ride of my life.
Absolutely.
But I didn't know that it would become what it is. I didn't know. I just didn't know. I mean, we're looking now 12 years back, mm-hmm. I think, 12, 13. And, I mean, I am so proud to have been part of something that still touches people's lives. I mean, I always wanted a show to be in a show that people, everybody knew it.
Yeah,
and I got that. I got to be a part of that. It's a big, cool thing to be a part of such history. Again, we're talking about history and, you know, what it means to be a part of things, and mm-hmm. that's a big one, as we say in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, literally, it is, you know, you can say you were a major role in one of the greatest, most successful Broadway shows ever. That's incredible. Do you stay in touch with Idina Menzel, or sorry, Adele Dazeem?
Adele Dazeem.
Do you ever call her that?
No, but I did. I think I saw her after that, and I was like, OMG. And she was like, OMG. When we see each other, of course, we get to catch up, and I think we, you know, every once in a while get to email each other. You know, we both are extremely busy, and our lives have moved in different ways. But, of course, when we do get to see each other or stay in touch, we like that, of course. Because we went through something together that nobody else has.
Yeah.
I mean, it in that moment, in that time, it was her and I. So.
Well, when you sing Adele at your the actual Adele in your show at Strathmore, you can maybe.
I'm going to dedicate it to Adele Nazeem for sure.
See, I'm just giving you all kinds of ideas here. This is great. So,
yes, you are.
You mentioned a few seconds ago. You mentioned, as you said, back in Oklahoma where you grew up. Did you, I think I read somewhere that, you know, while you were, you know, doing your master's degree and everything, you were up for a scholarship for maybe like a Philadelphia Academy of Vocal Arts, but you turned it down because of, you got landed in New York. Tell me about that.
I was, you know, the AVA school in Philly is one of our country's top opera conservatories, and I was accepted. They take not very many people a year, and I was lucky enough to audition, and they accepted me. And a couple weeks before the program started, I went to New York with one of my best friends, and I wanted to just experience a New York audition. I just wanted to see what that was like. Mm-hmm. And it was for a show called Animal Crackers, and it was for a place called Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey, which is another one of our country's top theaters. And I got a part, and I had to decide what I was going to do. I find myself in these crossroads a lot in my life. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, either north or south with me, or I should say east or west. And I'm a big one in just kind of praying about it and then making the decision and not looking back. And I know that I missed out on something great at AVA, and I'm honored to say I was even accepted. But I chose the other path, and it is a path that has been good to me. It was, you know, a tough decision, but I still train operatically. I still sing in a more legit style, just naturally of who I am, and that's represented in my concert as well. But now I just get to do kind of any kind of music I want. And I think that the opera training at OCU really is the reason that I can do a lot of different styles. Mm-hmm. Because it's like when you learn ballet. Ballet is the core of any dancer.
Sure.
I believe.
Sure.
They may be a hip-hop dancer. They may be a tap dancer. They may be a jazz dancer or a lyrical dancer. But ballet is the core. And I view opera training, not everybody's an opera singer, just because I've had opera mm-hmm. training. I think opera training is like getting you ready for healthy singing and a long career.
No, that's absolutely true. And, you know, if any of our listeners, let's say they're up and coming, either ballet dancers, like you said, or opera singers or whatever, or, you know, they want to go into, you know, musical theater, you know, if they face a similar crossroads as you did, you know, what would your advice be to them? You know, how did you dig inside and decide which one to pick? Because, you know, and you know, even you never know how anything, nothing's guaranteed in life. But, you know, what would your advice to be if they find themselves in a similar spot?
I say follow your gut. Follow your gut. And everybody else could be telling you, are you really turning that down? Are you really not going to go do A, B, or C to do F?
Right.
And you say, yeah, I'm going to do it because that's my gut. I was, same thing happened with Charlie Brown. I was offered the role of supporting lead with Bernadette Peters in Annie Get Your Gun.
Wow.
And not very many people told me to do Charlie Brown.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You just have to follow your gut. You have to follow your gut.
Well, hopefully our listeners will take that advice and follow their guts to Strathmore to see you. See how we did that?
I hope they do. I hope they do. I'm very excited to be there, honestly. I've always had such an akin to that particular city, and I've never been to the theater. I mean, I've never played the theater, so I get to finally do it, and I'm excited by it.
Why have you always had a connection to this city, like you said?
I think because it's so close to the beginning of our own country, and there's so much history. And remember, I'm from Oklahoma, so I don't have things that have been that old around me. I mean, I certainly lands, but I just mean historic monuments, even houses. So I just like to be there where the history is, and there's a lot of it in that area. And I always go to some museum. My friends always tease me. They go, and by museum you mean mall, which is true. I do love to shop, but you know I just love the history. It's becoming more and more important for me the longer I live. Is that word history,
yeah.
My own history, our history, what kind of mark we're going to leave on this world. And the concert delves into that as well, with a song called I Was Here. And you'll see some young performers from the area join me on stage for the last couple songs, because I remember being them, and I want to make an influence on young singers and young talent. So, you know, that's the show right there. I guess you could call it history.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kristen, thanks so much for taking the time. We look forward to seeing you out at Strathmore. Dress warm, because the wind, like your home state, the wind will come sweeping down the plain here. I mean, it's going to be cold, so come on, come ready.
I think I love you even more for that reference. thank you. I will bring my big, big warm coat, and you have a great day.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.